We're visiting with Dr. Pat Schnabel from Iowa State University, and Dr. Schnabel is the director of the Center for Plant Genomics at Iowa State University and a professor in the Department of Agronomy. And Dr. Schnabel, we wanted to visit with you about the news today that the work on sequencing the corn genome has been completed. Now, for those of us that are not geneticists, what is the significance of this?
Well, you know, the genome is consists of all of the DNA, all of the genes in the maize plant. And I used to say this was sort of like a user's manual for the maize genome. It's becoming clear now that a better analogy is a wiring diagram. So genes are like iPhone apps. They each have a specific function. The problem is we don't know what all of those functions are and how they work together. So this is a fabulous start of telling us how the corn plant grows and develops. But now we need to link it to functional information. How do all of those genes, those applications, interact to make the plant grow and develop?
So this is, while this is a milestone, there's still a lot of work to be done, is what you're saying?
Yes, that's true. But let me give you a picture of the future as we see it. Plant breeders have been tremendously successful with increasing yields and sustainable yields of corn. You know, yields have increased 1 to 2% a year over the last 70 or 80 years, and about half of that is due to improved genetics. But we face some really extraordinary challenges in the coming years. The world is demanding more and more food, feed, and now energy from corn. And so the genome itself gives us the ability to go in and look historically at how breeders change the genome in the process of their plant breeding experiments, and then use that information to speed up future plant breeding efforts.
Give me an example of what can be accomplished here. What are the possibilities?
Well, there are a number. I mean, they're wide open. I'll give a couple. One is response to environmental stresses like drought. Drought has major impacts on corn grain yield, and there are certainly some products coming out onto the market that help with that, and current hybrids are definitely better than hybrids of a decade ago. But there's a long way to go, and genome sequence should enable plant breeders to develop more drought-tolerant hybrids. We should also be able to increase the nitrogen use efficiency. So farmers spend a lot of money on nitrogen fertilizer, and if we can ensure that the nitrogen that is applied is better utilized, a greater percentage of it is utilized by the corn plant, that should reduce input costs. We should also be able to make new products for maize, so improve the nutrition of the grain for animal feed, re-engineer the corn plant so that we can generate energy from the stalks, the stover, cobs, lignocellulosic ethanol instead of exclusively from the grain.
What are we talking about as far as timetable on some of these things? Are we greatly speeding up the possibilities?
You know, I think some of the benefits have already happened. So this is a project funded with taxpayer dollars. This was a project funded by the National Science Foundation. It was $30 million. And as such, the findings were released on the World Wide Web over the Internet to the entire research community as quickly as they were generated. So the seed companies have been downloading the information and using it to improve their hybrids since the project began 4 years ago. And so I am convinced that the hybrids that are coming out in the next several years will have benefited from the genome sequence. Some of the possibilities for drought tolerance and increased nitrogen use efficiency, I think we'll start seeing news of those in the next 5 years, say.
So you're saying we're already starting to see some of the benefits of this work?
Absolutely. I've heard from colleagues in the seed industry that this is the single most useful thing they've gotten in terms of public research, is having the genome sequence available to develop markers.
Were you involved in this project, Dr. Schnabel?
Yeah, I was what's called a co-PI or co-principal investigator, and so with colleagues at Washington University, which was the lead institution, Cold Spring Harbor Lab in New York and the University of Arizona, myself and a colleague, Cernavis Alaru, here at Iowa State University, were partners in this project.
All right. So does the work continue for you on this from here?
It absolutely does. We know, as I said, we want to understand how all of the genes interact to allow the plant to grow and develop. We're particularly interested in heterosis or hybrid vigor, trying to understand how that works. This was described 100 years ago, 1908, and hybrids began to come onto the market in the 1930s, and they're widely used these days. But we still don't understand how heterosis works. And if we could understand how it works, we'll be able to better predict which inbreds to cross together to make the next generation of superior hybrids. And the genome sequence has already given us some clues about which hybrids are successful and which ones are not. And we want to follow up on those intriguing clues to develop better tools for predicting hybrid performance.
I know I saw one quote that you had made earlier on this project, comparing it to Lewis and Clark exploring the Louisiana Purchase. I like that analogy.
Yeah, I like it particularly because it conveys not only the complexity and cost of the effort, but also, you know, when Lewis and Clark came back, they brought with them a lot of information, pelts and pressed plants and maps and descriptions of the people they'd met, and it took decades to fully digest all of that information so that the U.S. government and the U.S. people could understand what they'd bought out there in the Louisiana Purchase, which includes probably much of your listening audience and right here in Iowa where I'm sitting. And the genome is like that. We've generated a large amount of information. Much of it's already useful, but over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to be able to take extraordinary value out of that and put it into the hands of growers. This is, you know, in an era of tough federal budgets, this is a real example of payoff of taxpayer dollars. So $30 million from the National Science Foundation. This sequencing the maize genome was just too big of a job, too expensive for the individual seed companies to undertake on their own at the time we began. And so this was funded publicly. All of the information was made available to the seed companies and other researchers. And this is, without question, ramping up the research productivity of both the public and private sectors.
Thank you, Dr. Schnabel. Pat Schnabel, who is with Iowa State University, Director of the Center for Plant Genomics, and a professor in the Department of Agronomy.